Yes, sir. We are live. It is the post-game reaction show to Auburn absolutely dominating like they should. Alabama A&M doing literally everything you could possibly do. Look, I'm not even going to do an intro. I'm not even going to do the intro song. We're going to get right into this. We're going to bug out. We're going to talk about the significance of this game, the significance of the way this thing played out. It's really hard to put a finger on a negative. It's really hard to put a finger on something, I guess, that you got to try to find some stuff to correct. You got to try to find some stuff to work on to get better at. But hey, it's tough. It's tough after this game, especially offensively, just working on, you know, continuing to build off of this success on this passing game. Is something that I thought was very, very important that Auburn really needed to do, really needed to show this Saturday, was really getting after it and showing what they've been working on, showing that they've been able to acquire the skill, showing that they've been able to add some guys that they can go vertical with. I thought it was a lot of fun to watch, and it's hard to imagine any Auburn fan that watched that game that can walk away and feel like Auburn left anything out on the field, or left really any meat on the bone, I guess. We may try to pick and we may try to prod and find some stuff to talk about that we can get better at. But to start right off, I did a show sometime this week. I don't know, maybe the Thursday show. I said there's three things that I want to see. And if these three things happen, I think you could consider this weekend a success, Saturday a success. The first one, I wanted to see combined 300 yards passing. Okay. Zach kind of laughed at me a little bit. Zach kind of scoffed at it a little bit. I'm not going to lie. Kind of hurt my feelings on it a tad. So, but you saw Peyton do that in the first half. Peyton was dadgum near flawless. He was almost flawless in that first half. He threw for 322 in the first half. But I said I wanted to see 300. We got 450. You got 450. You knew Hank Brown, if he got the shot, he was going vertical, and he did. He did. And, yes, people in the comments, I took the great five-hour energy about right at halftime, and I am on a kite. I'm as high as a kite right now. I am jacked, ready to rock and roll. But, so, yeah, I said I wanted to see 300 yards passing combined. We saw 322 in the first half, 451 overall. Holden even had two really pretty passes when he got a chance to go in. Six touchdowns total, four from Peyton Thorne. Peyton threw 16 touchdowns last year. He threw four in this game. Okay, so he's a quarter of a way to his total from the whole last year. I think that was something else that I said, that I could see this offense going over 22 touchdowns. And maybe not as many yards, but hey, I maybe have to back that up and punt, because we may be going over in yards as well. So great first half. So that was number one. Number two, I said I wanted to see 200 yards rushing. Okay, now some of this is because we were scoring so fast, so quickly on offense through the air, that we didn't really have time to really run the ball. I mean, we only had 18 total carries. So 18 total carries for 177 yards, averaging right at just a smidge under 10 yards a carry. Jarquez Hunter only had four carries, but one of them went for 34 for a touchdown, the first score of the season. And he hurdled a child. That was the play before. He hurdled a child the play before. He's going to do that at least once or twice a season. There's going to be a young man that's going to be posterized. He's going to have Jarquez Hunter gliding over the top of him at some point in time. Every single season that Jarquez has played, that's happened. And sure enough, it happened in the very first game of the season. Poor kid, feel bad for him, but we knew it was going to happen. I said I wanted to see 200 yards. I'll give him a pass. I'll give him a pass here, 177, because they threw for 450. I think that's still a win. You can critique me if you want to. I think that's still a win. Showed some stuff in the run game. They were able to get some push. Another cool thing, the touchdown run. There was several plays throughout the night where Peyton, you could tell, called the check. So Peyton called the play, changed the play into a touchdown. And the freedom to be able to do that is awesome. It's awesome. It's exciting. He checked into plays at least four or five times tonight that went into big gains. And I'm going to do a little bit more diving into the film to figure out and be more specific about those different plays as the week goes on. And then the last thing I wanted to see, sack lunches. I think I said I wanted to see three. Guess what? They had three sacks. You had Jalen McLeod had a sack. Malik Blockton had a sack, which I went on the Up-Tempo podcast, and they asked me what's the they put a line of 4.5 freshman sacks. And I was like thinking about who would get one, and I definitely said Malik Blockton would have at least one sack. Well, dadgummit, he had one in the very first game. So that 5.5, I said actually under, it could go way over. So three sacks. So you had Jalen McLeod, Keldrick Falk had a sack. Malik Blockton had a sack. Those were your three. Those are your three sacks. So you're able to get pressure on the quarterback. You threw the ball through the air, and then you ran the ball well. You finally were able to get some push and run the ball well. And I understand the opponent, so spare me on that. It's not like I didn't know we played Alabama A&M. I know who the opponent was. But when you play an opponent like that, you go out, you handle business. And Auburn last year would not have thrown for 450 yards. They just wouldn't have. They may have run for 250 to 300 plus yards, but that just wouldn't have happened. It's a big, big change. It's a big, big change from last year to this year. Young guys making plays everywhere. All of the Freeze Four had big receptions. All the Freeze Four had multiple receptions. You had Malcolm Simmons getting the very first play of the game, very first reception of the season was the first play of the game, went to Malcolm Simmons. Did not select that on my bingo card that would happen. I did not assume. I figured it would go to KLS. He got the second reception, but Malcolm Simmons, Bryce Kane got his receptions late, had a bad fumble. He'll work on that. That'll get better. He's still a smaller guy. He's got some weight to gain, but he looks quick. They were trying to go to him deep early in the game. They were running this little slot fade or this slot corner that they were trying to get to, and I think he actually dusted the guy, but Peyton got it out quick early to Cam. So they were trying to work that where he could get hit. They could hit that deep shot to Kane, because I think that was the goal. I think they really wanted to have all four of them score a touchdown, and they almost pulled it off, which is hilarious. You go deep to Perry early, and it was close. It would have been a tough catch. And then you get him a little bit later on a dot that Thorne threw. His deep ball was pretty, man. The deep ball was on point. The first touchdown to KLS led him so beautifully. The one to Cam Coleman, Cam just – he put the guy on skates and dusted him as well. And just another pretty ball. Just young guys all over the field, young defensive backs. Caleb Harris got a bunch of run, made a bunch of plays. Your young defensive lineman, already mentioned Malik Blockton. You saw Amaris Williams and Waller get in towards the end of the game. Just felt like your youth. Hugh spent so much energy on that last class, and it's hard to point to somewhere where there was a miss. It really is. It's hard to point somewhere where you can say, man, he screwed the pooch on that one, or that was a complete miss. No. It's just been like stud after stud getting in there and making plays, and it's been exciting. The only one I was a little bit bummed out, I felt like Riddick. I thought he would get more run, but you had Robert Woodyard just flying all over the place, and him needing to get more playing time, because you need him to be good this year, especially if Keys is a little bit more dinged up than we thought. Just continue to work those. Next step, guys like Dorian Maiusi and Robert Woodyard. I would that was the only little thing that I was somewhat disappointed in seeing as much of Riddick. So young guys making a lot of plays. Hey, we're gonna get in the chat. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna get in the chat early here. But I got one more thing I want to talk about. Young guys making plays was great to see. The offensive line shuffle. I saw someone asked Zach in the show right before I jumped off. What did the left side of the line look like? And I liked what they did here. Okay. So what they did was They rotated two drives at a time. You started with Tyler Johnson, and then they rotated in Percy Lewis. So they swapped them out every two drives. And I think if it's a quarterback, we're freaking out. But for an offensive line to be able to have that sort of depth ready to go, I think that was very, very smart. And I tell you what, both of them played really good games. I watched Percy specifically because Tyler started. And as soon as Percy got in, I locked in. I said, okay, this was the third drive. I was like, lock in on Percy right here. It was first or second down, and it was when we threw the long touchdown pass to Cam Coleman. Their best pass rusher comes off the edge. Percy stones him, absolutely stones him at the point of attack, gave Peyton plenty of time to be able to deliver that ball, and Peyton threw it on the money. That is invaluable to be able to have those two guys getting a lot of playing time. But I think if you go back and rewatch, watch that, how they rotated them in every like two series or so. It was like two at a time. So Tyler would play two, and then Percy would come in and play two. I can't remember a time where I felt so good about the depth of the offensive line. Peyton had all dadgum day. And that is just not, again, I understand the opponent, but that is something that we just haven't really seen that much. We haven't really seen Peyton be able to be stress-free back there, and for him to be able to, A, have time to throw, and then be able to check in and out of the plays, into good plays. It was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to see this offensive line continue to grow, because there were several guys that I thought had really good games, made really good plays at times. Hey, I see Ross Bell. Thoughts on Jeremiah Wright's performance? You kind of stole the words right out of my mouth. The touchdown run. Go watch Jeremiah Wright's block on the first touchdown run. He had a phenomenal game. And he is a big man. He is a big man, and he's a healthy man, and that's a big deal. That is a big deal because he's been banged up for like his whole career, and he's finally healthy, and he had a really, really good performance. So, again, I want to try to find – if I had to find one negative, I thought there was a little bit – sometimes we were a little bit rusty in the secondary. We had some – you know, silly little penalties here or there, some hands to the face, like that's just freshman mistake type stuff. It's a little bit of rustiness maybe in the secondary. We let some guys get free and they dropped a lot of passes. So like they could have had a little bit more yards, but they dropped a lot of passes. So I think that's some things you can use, you can point to. I know DJ Durkin's circled that in his mind, and that's something they're going to work on moving forward. That would probably be one of the weaker things that I noticed of the game. If you had to try to pick something out, I saw Zach the pass interference call. I think in the stadium it was the one where they called pass interference where Kay and Lee was just all up in the dude's pocket. I think they actually called that pass interference play on Caleb Harris away from the ball. I don't really think they called it. It sounded like they called the penalty on Caleb Harris. I could be way wrong there, but I was behind the glass. So, but I could have sworn I heard him say pass interference on number 18, Caleb Harris. I don't think it was actually on Kaylee. Kaylee had an unbelievable game. He is a blanket. Like, you don't get away from him. He is going to be smothering you, and there's just not a lot of room to breathe there. Then we almost saw a special teams touchdown, which would have been epic, because I'm not kidding y'all. And I'm going to try to get him to vouch for me, but the guy in the press box right beside me, I told him right before the punt return, I said, this one's going for six. So just pay attention. This one's going for six. And sure enough, it was a touchdown on the field. Then there was a penalty, but it was on the punting team, illegal formation. I was like, there you go. There's your touchdown. I called it. And then they reviewed it and he stepped out of bounds. But that would have been pretty daggum electric. Keontae's electric. He's an electric returner. So all in all, that's how you handle business. That's how you get it done against a team like this. That's exactly how you do it. So let's get through it. Let's get in the comments. Let's go ahead and get into the comments and have a lot of fun. Y'all put it in there, and I'll go through as many as I can in the next I don't know, we'll go for another 10 plus minutes and just have some fun. So start with Derek Anderson. Does it make anyone nervous that there wasn't a 100-yard receiver? In my opinion, absolutely not. Not in the least. You want to spread the ball around. You got multiple weapons. No, that did not make me nervous one single bit. They played a ton of guys. They rotated a ton of guys, and I have zero concerns whatsoever about not having a 100-yard receiver. You threw for 451 yards. I mean, come on. A bunch of dudes had catches. I tell you what, I'd be more concerned if there was one guy dominating over the rest. Now you're showing you have options. Now you're showing you got multiple weapons, and that makes defensive coordinators a lot more nervous than if you just only got one guy that can make plays. So no, that did not make me really nervous. Luke 4, will we take the same approach against Cal? That's a great question. I think Cal struggled tonight. I think they played UC Irvine possibly. I just thought I saw somebody talk about it, and it was maybe a 1-point game for a really long time. And then all of a sudden, I think they kind of pulled ahead. Let me see if I can find it. Cal. I need to have a daggum search on this score app. I don't even know what conference Cal is in anymore. So that would make it easy if I can narrow down the conference, but I'm not even sure I know what conference they're in. I think they're either are they in the ACC now? Cal? Yeah, they're in the Cal. They played UC Davis. And at halftime, it was 14-13, and then they scored 17 points in the second half. So will they take the same approach? I think so. And what is that approach? The approach is you get mismatches, you get matchups with all your weapons, and you get the ball out to them where they can make plays. You put the ball up where they can make plays. And I think that's the exact same thing you do. There was a little bit of everything tonight. There was going deep, there was intermediate, there were checkdowns, there was a little bit of it all. And honestly, you really didn't even utilize the tight end game that much. You tried to a few times. Rivaldo had kind of a weird game where very uncharacteristic of him, just, you know, dropping wide open passes and then not winning your 50-50 battles. So that's something that you didn't even really get to utilize. So I don't know. I think you take the same approach. That's how this offense is predicated, getting one-on-one matchups, especially on the outside, and then letting your guys make plays, giving Peyton Thorne time to make decisions, giving Peyton Thorne times to go through your progressions, and giving Peyton Thorne the freedom to check in and out of plays. Like I said, I think there was about five times that I noticed in the first half where Peyton checked out of a play into a new play, and it ended up being a big gainer, a really big gainer. So I think you'll definitely see some similarities of gameplay, the way the game flows, the way the offense works. I think it'll be a very similar game. Drake Barefoot, ball security. I'm with you, bub. You had a walk-on running back fumble, and you had a freshman wide receiver fumble. So other than that, looked pretty good. Your quarterbacks protected the ball. You did have two fumbles, but hey, I mean, come on. So why? It's a walk-on and a freshman who was trying to make a big play that didn't get the spotlight that everybody else did. So not too much worried about it. I'm gonna save recruiting for tomorrow night. We're gonna talk recruiting for the Sunday Night Live. So we'll talk about some recruiting tomorrow night. So y'all be sure to tune in. Then Tyler May, I've seen enough. Give Peyton the Heisman. I love it. He's got my vote right now. He's got my vote for sure. Charlie Benson, hey, good meeting you today at Tiger Walk. Yeah, it was great to meet you too. Ran into Charlie, which is funny that his name's Charlie, and took a pic, had a good conversation. It was good meeting. I met several listeners, and y'all are great. Ryan Percy, this is not – I said we're going to talk recruiting, but not specifically. This isn't really specifically talking about recruits, but what a perfect game for those recruits to be at tonight. Imagine if you're Deuce Knight and you're on the fence and you see Peyton Thorne throw – for 350, and you see him run for, you know, two big gains. And you're thinking, man, what could I do in this offense? And then, you flip over to Notre Dame and they look like dog, you know what? Their offense is garbage. Notre Dame can make a great quarterback average better than anybody up that's ever lived. So I think, you watch those guys, you watch the wide receivers that were in the house, some of the running backs that were in the house, defensive players. It was all around really good game to do in front of recruits. Joshua Rios, Kyle, you got what you wanted. They threw that thing. Yes, sir, they did. That's exactly what I needed to see. I needed to see the ball in the air, and they put it up in the air, and they had it. Looked good doing it. Billy Thorne missed a few throws. Otherwise, our offense looks high powered, and we showed nothing about our run game. I don't think Thorne missed a few throws. I really don't. If you go back, he threw 8 incompletions, and I think 5 of those incompletions were. Could have been caught. I mean, sometimes the quarterback's job is just to put it in the area. Okay, there was a miscommunication. Caleb Burton ran the wrong route that looks like it's on Thorne, but Caleb Burton ran the wrong route. He was supposed to cut it off and run a dig, and you saw him get in trouble when he got to the sideline. Okay, so that one looked like it was on Thorne, and then the one truly bad pass that I thought he made was. He kind of tried to throw a little back shoulder to Robert Lewis and kind of sailed it. So, but other than that, you had KLS drop one in his hands. You had Rivaldo drop 2, one that was dead between the numbers that he should have caught. And then you had a 50-50 ball that, hey, he put it there. You got to make the play. I don't know that he really made a bunch of bad throws. So maybe when you said few, you literally just meant few, but I didn't see Thorne. It felt like he was putting it wherever he wanted to put it tonight. So, Ross Bell, do you love great 5-hour energy? Absolutely. Pounded one right in the press box and had a lot of fun. Felt good. Felt the rush. I was ready to go. Let's see. Let's keep going. Shout out to the O-line, Yabo. Shout out to the O-line. QBs were pretty safe all game. I don't remember, honestly, a quarterback coming off his mark. I don't really remember a quarterback sort of being flushed out of the pocket. I just feels like they kind of sat back there, found who they needed to go to, and delivered it. It was a lot of fun. Brett Drinkard, we're coming from Zach Stream. What is your Cal prediction based off tonight? I think it's going to be a multiple touchdown difference in the score. I think it's going to be at least a 2.5 to 3 score game. I don't think Cal's very impressive based off their game tonight. They're going to be coming a long way in a very, very – it's not going to be as hot as it was today next week, but if this offense continues to be able to get mismatches and have one-on-one matchups and being able to exploit those, I think it's going to be at least a 2-3 score game. I would say at least 17, maybe 17 points is kind of how let's just roll with that. Let's say 17 points. I think 17 points or greater is kind of where it's going to be. Ton of 5-hour energy stuff. That's the great 5-hour energy thing. It should live forever. I think it's hilarious. And the fact that I don't have a sponsorship now, my 5-hour energy is, quite frankly, it's criminal. It's absolutely criminal. There's no great 5-hour energies in Lee County. They've all been sold out. It's absolutely criminal. let's see here. Let's go to this. This looks like a long one. Ken Stock, can you answer what the heck is happening with time of possession? If we shaved 10 minutes off the game, then how the heck does it still add 60 minutes? I have no idea. I've never seen a college football game have a shortened second half. I don't think I've ever seen that. So I cannot answer that. I have no idea how that's a thing. Let's see here. Integrity Sports Podcast. Tim S. is checking in from Americus, Georgia. Our friend, the baby goat, did great tonight. Yes, he did. He did exactly what I thought he would do. When he got a shot, he threw it deep. I knew he would throw it deep. And he did. He did. He got a quick little jump off sides, and he put the ball up. And he put the ball up where somebody could make a play, and then somebody didn't make a play. You knew he was going to go vertical. He had two guys down there, and Sam Jackson made an unbelievable catch. That was very exciting. And then, but every pass it felt like was really good. He had one throwaway, so I can't knock that on him. The first pass he threw hit Malcolm between the ones, and he dropped it. And then he threw a dart on Malcolm, and Malcolm did what Malcolm does and scored on a very long touchdown. So let's keep going. Recruiting update. I see a lot of recruiting updates. We're going to talk about that tomorrow night. So tomorrow night's going to be a whole recruiting show. There's a huge recruiting weekend, a lot of visits. I got to have time to gather some intel, and then we'll talk about it tomorrow night. Chris Baker, love this team, excites for the future, cut down on the turnovers, and fairway has to get catches and not drops. Fairway's got to have play better. Fairweather's got to play better. The one really bad drop, I think, is just there's sometimes in football you can be so open that it's a tougher catch than if you're making a catch in traffic, because you're thinking, oh my God, I'm so open, I'm about to score. And you take your eyes off the ball for a half second, and you drop it. And that's exactly what happened. He's got to be focused, locked in a lot more, because we need him. We need him to be able to eat up chunk yards in the middle. That's definitely a big deal. He's got to be better there. Keep going. Let's see. Flame Train CBD. Auburn is going to be a lot better this year than people realize. I think that really opened a lot of eyes. I think that performance really opened a lot of eyes, and I think there's a chance this team could make some noise. I'm not ready to change my – I've been an 8-4 guy, but it seems like there could be. If you have sort of a repeat next week and you have a big game, I think you could probably see where maybe Auburn could, you know, knock on that 9-win door, maybe even 10. Maybe you can get to the level where you're – Texas A&M doesn't look very good. Oklahoma looks beatable. So you sweep your home games, and then all you got to do is win one of the Kentucky or Missouri, or hey, win both of them. Now you're at 10 games. Now, hey, Georgia, they played their typical Georgia game where they smother you and then put you away at the end. Alabama looks like they're still going to be pretty explosive on offense. So you got time to work it out. I just love the fact that if Auburn's 5-0 going to that Georgia game, it's going to be pretty electric. Let's see. Jesse Allison. I totally agree with this. I've seen Auburn run for a ton of yards and still suck. So have I, dude. And it's so frustrating that in these games, you'll see us run for 450 yards. 2012 is a really good comparison. You run for forever, and you run for a mile in a game and you win three games. Like, I've seen it a million times, but it's not very often. There's not very often where you see Auburn throw for a pile of yards and not be good. So I'll inverse that for you. I've seen Auburn run for a ton and suck. I haven't really seen Auburn throw for a ton and suck in quite a while that I can remember. Keep going. Sheldon Urgel, KLS leads the team in receiving yards. Not a shocker to me. He is a technician route runner. Like, he can get open, and it's unreal. He puts people on skates. Like, he does all the little things, all the little bitty things technically as a wide receiver that make it really tough to cover him. It just makes it tough. Let's see. Let's keep going through here. We're going to take a couple more and then call it a night. It's getting kind of late. Let's see. I hope you're being sarcastic, Jason. I'm disappointed because Alabama A&M whipped Auburn in the time of possession. Surely that's written in sarcasm, because it's hard to win the time of possession battle when you're scoring in 30 seconds. It's tough. Sometimes that's a little tough, okay? And then Auburn extended several drives with penalties or whatever. So I'm going to say that's sarcasm, and that's funny. That's a good one. If you're trying to find something to be disappointed about, that's pretty good. Brett Drinkard, we talked about this just a second ago. What about Keontae Scott getting the punt return for a TD? I mean, he stepped out, and it was, it could have been electric. And I called it like the play before, I called it, and then, you know, whatever. I'm still counting it in my heart. Let's keep going. I answered the one about Jeremiah Wright's performance. Let's see here. Let's keep going. Why did Robert Lewis get limited reps, Luke? I think that's because Malcolm Simmons is better. Let's just go ahead and say it. I think Malcolm Simmons is electric. Malcolm Simmons is arguably number two of the Freeze Four. He's every bit we had no idea he was. So think about that one. Say that one in your head and figure that one out. He's every bit that we did not know that he was. He's unbelievable, and he's going to get a ton of playing time. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, I forgot about this play. Hey, TM Taco, block punt. Yeah, Malcolm, he almost blocked. Actually, he didn't block the punt. I think it was 84's face mask blocked the punt. But Malcolm almost blocked several tonight. Like, he's one of the rushers on the punt team. But that one got blocked, and then Malcolm just like is looking around. I have no idea where the ball is, and then boom, it just bounces up in my hands, and I score a touchdown. So his first scored touchdown as an Auburn Tiger was a blocked punt touchdown. I thought he blocked it initially, but he didn't. It was Micah Riley. It was Micah Riley's face that blocked that punt. He kicked it straight into his face. Let's keep going. Let's see here. Again, we got the Robert Lewis. Why we didn't see much of him is, it's just because Malcolm's better. Perry Thompson is a daggum beast. Love that guy. David, I agree. He dusted his guy, and he could have made an even more incredible catch deep. He looks big, and he looks like he's almost slow, but he's so big, but he just walks away from people. He's gonna be better. And that pass from Peyton on that play, I didn't think he was gonna catch it, but it was so perfect that it just, as every step he made, it was just perfectly in stride. It was a lot of fun. This is a good question, Taylor May. Does Peyton break the single season Auburn passing record? If he's on pace, it's not like it's a very hard record to break. I think it's only like 3,300 yards, so it wouldn't take much. It wouldn't take much to do that. Let's keep going. I'm going to take like two more and we'll go. We'll call it a night. Let's see. This is good. Just so we know. Hey, Chris Nicholson, UC Davis missed a field goal and an extra point in the first half. Could have been up at half. So that game that we talked about, Cal, that they looked bad, they could have been down at halftime to UC Davis. So it should be. Should be a very – I think we should be able to handle them next week. So, guess the spread. Best guess on the spread, I'm going to say 13.5. Let's see what happens. I'm going to say early line 13.5. I have not looked at anything, so I have no idea what it is. And, again, we're going to talk a lot about recruiting tomorrow night. So, tonight's all about the game. I think that's going to be it. Tonight's all about the game. Tonight's all about Auburn doing what they needed to do to, you know, put these teams away, get better. That's the biggest thing. Prove that you can do it and get better. And I think they did that tonight, and it was a lot of fun to watch. So, guys, I really appreciate y'all jumping in. We're going to do this after every single game. It's going to be a lot of fun. And just have a fun year. Let's have a fun year, and hopefully we keep airing it out, keep scoring touchdowns, and just make this a really fun year. And we got a lot of fun stuff. Hopefully we got a lot of fun stuff to talk about as well. So, guys, we're going to be back again tomorrow night for the Sunday Night Live. It's going to be very recruiting heavy. I'm going to be digging around tomorrow, see how some things went. May have some Deuce Knight updates, some Offered updates, some Melendez updates, a lot of stuff. So y'all be sure to tune in tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, and we'll get after it. So, guys, I really appreciate it. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.